Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am speaking with Eileen Stoll, who is the program coordinator at the Washington State Coalition Against Domestic Violence. How are you doing today, Eileen?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
The Washington State Coalition Against Domestic Violence is one of 19 Delta PrEP states. They receive money from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation with the CDC Foundation to help support Washington State build their primary prevention capacity of domestic violence. And so, Eileen, this has been the work that for the last several years you've been really engaged with, and I really want to learn more about the work you've been doing with youth and teens to be able to have them become not just the people we try to do primary prevention to, but to have them take leadership.
We're really excited about it as well. This has long been something that the coalition has wanted to take on, and with the Delta PrEP infusion of resources and support, we were really able to finally focus our efforts on prevention. So that has just been a great opportunity for us, and I feel like we've really taken the ball and run with it. What it's enabled us to do is have that dream of working with youth and having our work be more youth-driven and more relevant to youth by actually trying to integrate prevention into all of our programming. So one of the big things that we've done here at the Coalition is try to make sure that we don't have me be the only person doing prevention work, but instead really have it be across all programming. We have a prevention pod at our Coalition, which is made up of six of us that are interdisciplinary, who we all have different focuses around the legal advocacy project, the fatality review project, stuff around program evaluation and advocacy-based counseling, so a large variety of things. And we're all coming together to try and figure out how to infuse prevention into all of the stuff that we're doing. Really, that means first and foremost trying to engage with youth. That's been a long journey, but I think now towards the end of Delta PrEP, we're finally nearing the fruition of those efforts.
Let's talk about your Teen Learning Council. Describe what that is and why that was important to establish.
We really wanted to make sure that our work here at the Coalition was actually informed by youth, that the messages we put out would actually be relevant to them. Because what we've all learned is that when we say something, it doesn't necessarily mean the same things to everyone else. What we decided to do was come up with this idea of a TLC, a Teen Learning Council, where youth would basically be on a leadership committee where they would come together maybe once a year. We haven't actually had the guidelines for this put out yet, so it's a work in progress, but come together once a year and go also into their home communities where they are doing work and engaging their peers in trying to build communities where healthy relationships and respect, just general caring attitudes are the norm of their peers and their communities. How that actually came about was when we first embarked on doing prevention in our state, when I was just talking with my colleagues and friends about it, they all were for it. They said, yes, we should definitely prevent domestic violence because, after all, it is preventable. Then the next question they would ask me is, but what should I say to my own kids when they're watching Jersey Shore or when they're watching Twilight? And how do I have those conversations with them? And so we really decided to kind of look inward from the start and really start trying to build the skills of advocates at our member programs and actually of the staff of the Coalition as well. So we hosted a summer camp this past summer where we invited advocates and their own teenage kids to come. And we spent 3 days at the Great Wolf Lodge, which was really fun, and just kind of hashed it all out. We talked about relationships and sex and dating and hooking up and media and all the culture around us that gives us different messages than maybe the ones that our parents would like us to have, and tried to hash it all out. And out of that grew this group of teens who were really excited and inspired to bring this stuff back to their communities. And so they have made up our first Teen Learning Council, our TLC, with those folks. And they are kind of the inaugural group that we are looking forward to doing more and activating them. We set out to do this thing really just to help us try and get a grip. And what we found was it was such a wonderful opportunity to really just be a part of this incredible moment that we didn't really anticipate, but just the idea of getting people together to spend 3 days together was just really wonderful. When your kids are teens, you don't get the same time with them. And so it was this dedicated time where advocates were really able to share their whole selves where they were able to talk about the work that they're so passionate about. You typically don't get to do that when you're at home and running off to different extracurricular activities or trying to make things work as smoothly as possible at home. So it was a really great opportunity to see that, and we just saw the teens just shine, and they were so interested in having these conversations. And we were a little hesitant at first, like, are they going to actually want to talk with us about this stuff? But man, you start talking about Jersey Shore and they have all sorts of opinions. They really want to just hash out and say, yeah, we get that that's not the ideal. They really understand that. But what we haven't figured out, I think, as adults is how then to say, yes, there's Jersey Shore, but then there's also this other wonderful thing that you can work towards. And we haven't done the best job of messaging that. We're looking forward to asking them for their help around figuring out how to have those conversations.
Where were the next steps of where that group has gone?
We're actually going to get them together again, either by phone call or just we have a Facebook page, actually, that they're on, and just try and set out some guidelines for recruitment, doing application processes, and we're going to do another summer camp next summer that I'm hopeful that the TLC will be really engaged in helping us with, and maybe some will actually even come to do some of the programming. And then from there, we hope it'll be more institutionalized and that it'll kind of just become this thing that continues to grow, has its own momentum.
And then what you'll be able to do next year is move a broader population. The worst person to test my materials on is my own teenage son, because he's been raised in this warped set of values of listening to his parents talk about issues of gender justice for his entire life.
Actually, our plan for next year's summer camp is to have advocates on their own teens again, but then ask them to also invite one of the teenagers' friends and one of their parents as well to sort of begin to hopefully broaden our reach.
I also love that you're looking at this as an intergenerational partnership and that the work is not just about teens, but teens being able to have a discussion with their parents and with the adults in their lives, because we know that creating change requires that type of partnership.
They really are the experts in all of this. We can study it as much as we can. I always think that I think I remember what it was like to be a teenager, but it's really helpful to have them kind of driving the work and the message.
How have you seen this work influence the prevention work you'd help support in Washington State? What are some of the impact that you felt from having the TLC?
One of the things that we're just finding is that our membership is just so thrilled that we're taking this on because, you know, they've been doing it. Programs have been taking on this work, and they're really committed to safe communities and communities where people are in loving and equitable relationships. And I think in some ways they were probably like, it's about time that you all are getting on board. They have just been hungry for the information and hungry for the leadership that the coalition can provide around having materials and just ideas for what they can do and build upon. I think that we're at the beginning stages of how this is going to impact our state, but what I see is that people are really ready to take this on. They're really ready to have the positive messages taken not only to their broader communities, but that are specifically targeted to youth, that they really want to build upon the efforts. Talking about relationships in ways that aren't just about preventing the bad, but that are really about harnessing the power of the beauty and the good that we all really want and can see in relationships.
Eileen, any last lessons learned that you have for other prevention practitioners who are looking to find ways to meaningfully engage youth?
Biggest lesson I've learned is just go out and do it and experiment, and you'll learn so much along the way. And just if you have an idea, just go for it and try it.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.